Council will come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola.
Here.
Mr. Corley.
Here.
Mr. Hahn.
Here.
Mr. Lattiser.
Here.
Mr. McAllister.
Here.
Mr. McElroy.
Here.
Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Ms. Murphy.
Here.
Ms. Travis.
Here.
Nine present.
It's 7:55 p.m., and if Councilman Lattiser could lead us in the salute to the flag.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We could play the national anthem. Seated. I again apologize for accommodations. As you all may know, the council chamber had some water damage, and it's being repaired, so we'll be here probably the next few months. As far as executive communications, I just wanted to let everybody know or remind people that the council wanted to discuss the Rhode Island Airport Corporation's air quality report, and I know that State Representative McNamara was interested in doing that also, and our other state representatives and senators. And I'd like to tell the public, if you don't already know, that there'll be a meeting on Thursday, February 28th, 2019, at 6:30 p.m. At the Senior Center, Pilgrim Senior Center, to discuss the Rhode Island air quality report, and there'll be officials from the Rhode Island Department of Health there to give that presentation. Mayor Solomon would like to advise everybody that sometime in February, we'll be calling a special meeting of the council to address the state of the city. And we'll be picking that date. I'd ask council members to advise me if there are any dates that people won't be available during the next few weeks in February, if anybody's going to be away for business or otherwise. And I will try and check with council members also, and obviously it depends on the availability of different facilities. So I also wanted to put that on the radar of council members and the public. Also, There's a proclamation that I wanted to defer to Councilwoman Travis to give at this point, if she could come up.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't know if I can let the gentleman come in so I can do it in front of him.
Yes.
Can I do that? Evan, you can come in here. Mother and father can come with them too. Why can't get the people? We're trying to do this. I want to get this one.
Sorry.
Oh, we got it.
Sorry.
I mean, I can do it from here too. Whatever one you can give, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Will you do it right here? Are you using your mic? Is that all right?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Please.
You can turn around, sweetheart. So it's my honor to do this proclamation today. I don't know if this is working. But I want to introduce you to a fine young man that I've known for a very long time. And as you can see, I'm going to point out a few. We have a lot of members from the Jonah Board is here tonight for this reason. So today we have a resolution of congratulations where it's Evan Hudden, 19, is the son of Jason and Julie Hudden and has two older brothers, Chad, 23, and Luke, 21. And whereas Evan hosted his fourth annual toy drive at the Meadowbrook Lanes Bowling Alley to benefit those less fortunate in our community. And whereas Evan was born with spina bifida and has undergone 26 surgeries to date. For his 16th birthday, he wanted to give back to the community and has supported him, He collected 100 toys the first year and has collected over 500 toys since the inception of that toy drive. And whereas Evan started the toy drive in the basement of his church, and 2 years ago, he reached out to Meadowbrook Lanes and asked for help with his project. The toy drive has helped hundreds of children less fortunate. And I know Rob Farrell from Meadowbrook was here. He's also on our board, but he was here who accommodated Evan on his dream to do this. Whereas Evan has been adopted as the little brother of the Miss Rhode Island organization and is close friends with three former title holders. And whereas Evan was named Children's Miracle Network Champion in 2011, and he has become a Hasbro Children's Hospital spokesperson. Now therefore be resolved, the mayor and the Warwick City Council hereby honor Evan Hunt for his outstanding service in our community and urge our citizens to support his worthwhile drive. Thank you so much, Evan. It's an honor always to work with you, and I love you. I can't tell you how many people have been touched by this young man. We love him, and we thank him for everything he does. Thank you, Evan. You're welcome.
Thank you, Councilwoman Travis. The next, I just wanted to defer to my council members under general communications. Are there any other general communications from council members?
Mr. President?
Yes, Councilman Howe.
As the sponsor of the legislation asking the New England Patriots what they pay to RIAC, I feel it's now I can say with an asterisk and as a fan, I congratulate the New England Patriots and the fans for them winning. I said it.
Now back to business. I'd like to know what those fees are. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe actually they landed in Warwick, not Providence, at 4:53 a.m. this morning. So they came straight back on the plane. So yes, congratulations. Yes, Councilman Lattiser.
Mr. President, just for the members of the public, just to let you know that Mayor Solomon is diligently pressing forward with the council chambers. I was in there the other day. The floors are ripped up. The painting is ongoing. The staging is all set up. And we are certainly all looking forward to getting back into our home and conducting business from those chambers. So I can assure you the mayor is really pressing forward with this. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. And I think as we've mentioned before, since it was an accident, it is covered by insurance, so there's no taxpayer dollars involved in that. Okay. If there's no other general communications, we'll go to quarterly reports. And I believe Dan York had from O'Rourke, sorry, Dan O'Rourke. My problem, Water Department, are you going to give?
No.
Okay. So I believe that Dan had asked, because of a previous commitment, to ask for a continuance to the next meeting, which we had granted him. And Eric, you're next on the list. So if you could start off with your report.
Sure. Council President, Council members, pursuant to Resolution R-16-12, the Engineering Division has submitted the quarterly stormwater report. If you have any questions, I could answer them for you now.
I did briefly, if I can get to your report. Eric, could you just give us a brief update on that Bucky Brook project, restoration project?
Sure. Basically, it's pretty much the same status. We're still awaiting DEM approval on that. And I believe that the next meeting we're going to be having a presentation for the council to review that. The consultant will be here. That's all confirmed. And we'll be able to go over any more technical questions at that time. There are a lot of moving parts of the project, as I'm pretty sure you're all aware of. And we'll try to straighten them out so that we can, you know, find some resolution to this issue.
I believe there was a possible grant involved in that, too? Or?
Well, that is being funded by the Community Development Block Grant Disaster Recovery Funds, is basically for flooding issues and whatnot. And that's where the funding for the work that EA is doing, the permitting work, and then going forward with construction and overview on their part. And also, there is some funding available for the construction as well. And that'll all come from that same grant.
And I know that you have in number 5 of your report about public outreach, and I know that you've been, and I wanted to compliment you, you've been talking to all the parties, whether they agree with one another or they don't.
Right.
And I know all the council members appreciate that. That's an unenviable position to be in. But it's great that I know that you've taken a lot of time out of your day to do that, so I appreciate it. Is there any other council members that had questions? Councilman Ricks.
Wondering if you had any update on the Cushing area wetlands.
The Cushing area wetlands, as far as, I'm not sure what.
Similar drainage issue over there, or perhaps completely different drainage issue, but one way or the other, the water levels are rising, so I can forward that chain back to you.
Sure. Just in general throughout the city, as I'm not sure if everybody is aware of it, but this has been one of, I believe, the third wettest year on record. So we've had a lot of issues with, groundwater and minor floods, and especially in the low areas, of there being higher water tables in the area. So you know, we will definitely look into that stuff. So unfortunately, there are a lot of issues that we were unable to continue with or to do anything about. It's just a matter of the water subsiding at some point, hopefully.
I hope so, too, because the water level has been rising for at least 3 years.
Right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every once in a while I read articles that it's only going to get worse.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And especially with the rise in temperature, whether you believe it's global warming or not, it's occurring.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's causing the water levels to rise. And I think is one of the reasons that Congress decided not to subsidize the insurance on floods anymore, which is, I know, Councilman Lasser pointed out, a few other members that have properties and constituents along the water, that those people are suffering with their insurance rates, and it's a heck of a position to be in, and I don't think it's getting better anytime soon. Is there any other questions from engineering? If not, thanks, Eric,
thank you
for coming. And Phil Carlucci is up from MIS next.
Phil Carlucci, Director of MIS. I've submitted the quarterly report for you. There's just a few I'd like to highlight for the record. One of them was Councilman Corley had brought up about the sewer authority being able to accept credit cards online. We did initiate that project. We've had some conversations. I've been working with the director of the sewer authority, and we've had some conversations with the software company, so we have some direction on who we have to speak with. We're going to be setting up a meeting hopefully this week to take that to the next step. The council had approved an expenditure for Munis training. I just wanted to let you all know or highlight that we have initiated the assessment. So we had Tyler come in. They actually sent someone here, interviewed us, took a look at what we were doing, and they've made recommendations. We just got that report. This week we will be meeting to go over that report to figure out how we're going to prioritize which we're going to attack first, which opportunities we're going to go after first, and then the training that we had requested and you had approved is actually going to be conducted next week. We have 3 days set aside for that. And then I just wanted to mention that we are progressing well. We're about 80% complete with getting the network wiring and everything completed in the Buttonwood facility. With that, if there's any other questions.
There was, I know that you had mentioned about credit card payments. I thought I had in my notes also about water, the Water Authority. Do they accept payments by credit card?
I'm not really sure to
I thought that was
I will get back to you
if
with
you
it.
Could get back to us. So absolutely. If you could give us an update on both water and sewer payments by credit card next time, that'd be helpful. Is there any other questions of council members for MIS? Yes, Councilman McAllister.
Thank you, and thank you very much for your report. And as you mentioned, the Buttonwoods facility is continuing. I believe the next step is dropping into the individual workstations for the people that will be working there.
That is correct, Councilman.
Great. And so we're moving along in that area, and I know that there is a lot of people that are very excited to go back there and to move there. So thank you very much, and I appreciate the update.
Very good.
Thank you. Any other questions for MIS, Councilman Lattiser?
Thank you, Mr. President. Not so much a question, but more of a comment. Certainly my colleagues on the City Council recall the days and the conversations of past history with the MIS department. I've never been bashful in that regard either. And I just want to commend you on your willingness to work with this council to move forward with the MIS department, to be forthcoming and so transparent with the things that
you do and the things that you're working on. And it is very refreshing to see that taking place in so many departments throughout the city now that we have different leadership in that corner office. So thank you for that. Thank you for the members of your department as well.
Thank you. Any other questions from council members? Thanks, Phil, for coming and giving your presentation. Janine Burke, Sewer Authority.
Good evening, Council President, Honorable City Council. I provided you our quarterly written report. And I'll just say I totally agree with Eric. Our flows last quarter were up quite a bit due to the amount of rain that we got. I just wanted to point out to you there was a summary. Because of the timing of this meeting, I had a lot of year-end numbers, so I provided a summary of the treatment facility performance in 2018. And also on page 3, I just want to update at the time I wrote the report. I didn't have all the bills in, but the latest Sandy Lane pipe collapse would be probably closer to $750,000 when all's said and done. I had $550 in there for the report. And then just lastly, last week, both the Sewer Authority and the Mayor's Office commented on our newest permit that DM's given us with new metal limits. So that preserves our right to appeal, and we'll see what happens with those comments. But
so, Janine, could you expand a little bit about what caused the sewer collapse on Sandy Lane?
Sure. These are all part of the Oakland Beach Interceptor, which was installed, put into service in 1982. So it's only 38 years old, and the premature collapse was due to hydrogen sulfide in the system, and also we believe the wrong type of pipe for that application. Never seen it used for a gravity service before.
Had you identified that problem before the collapse occurred?
No, we did not. We had someone come out to do basically a corrosion expert that we've been working with, and he was able to help us identify it. And then even though we couldn't find the original specifications, we did find a reference to it in the front part of the plans that we do have copies of. So, we've confirmed that, and at this point we're looking at the entire line to do some type of a rehab, hopefully no dig rehab.
And when you say looking at the entire line, what's that consist of?
It's about 5,200 linear feet of pipe. So far with these two breaks, both on the same pipe, we've replaced some, and we have two other sections that are about 1,400 linear feet that are prepared to be lined, and then we'll have to do the rest of it as well.
So my question was, when you inspect the pipe, I'm assuming that you go in with cameras or something?
Currently, yes, we have that technology.
And the cameras, are they done with their inspections of that pipe or they're not?
Yes, both of those pipes have been inspected. They took measurements, and I believe they're both candidates for this cured-in-place pipe lining. They have to order the liner. It has to get manufactured, and then it'll be shipped here, and it'll be about a two-day operation when they do finally prepare to do that repair.
And what about other pipes? Are you underway examining the other pipes too?
Yeah, absolutely. Our finance committee's been really focused on this. They gave us a deadline of April 15 to have a master plan, so a big picture, conceptual cost level. Here's the priorities you guys need to address based on whatever we have right now for inspection information, pipe age, pipe material, if it's a high odor area, things like that are all getting factored into that. Risk of failure and consequence of failure is going to dictate where things rank.
Did we ever have such a list before this collapse?
No, nothing really formal, just based on folks that work there knowing where problem areas are.
And you you said that you have a list now?
Yes, we have a list now, but we have a consultant that's actually developing a bigger list. Looking
and
at
who's
all
that consultant?
Lewis Berger.
And when's that report?
April 15th.
It's supposed to be completed April 15th?
Yes.
And what are they doing to determine where other pipes may collapse?
They're doing an analysis, and also they're doing some, they're using RGIS data to attempt to model the system. And we've had other studies in the past specifically focused on odors in the Cedar Swamp area that modeled where we would expect to see high odors, and some of which surprised us. But when we went out in the field and looked at it, they had some merit that we hadn't looked at before in certain pump stations.
Are they using cameras to examine any other sewer lines?
The Lewis Berger is not doing no camera work. We've done it, you know, we have cameras, we've done a lot of it. We're looking at what we have that's usable for the past 5 years, and then the board is most likely going to approve an outside vendor to, depending on what still needs to be actually looked at.
So you said you have cameras?
We have a TV camera.
How long have you had cameras?
About 10, it was there before I got there. And it's so old.
Been used to look at pipes, or?
Yes, we have, 10 years worth of information. We're looking at the last 5 years as usable.
So even with the use of cameras, this spot wasn't identified?
No. Not to my knowledge, it's never bubbled up to my level that there was an issue with this particular interceptor.
So, really they're going to do this Lewis Bridgeport, I think you said, they'll do a statistical analysis of where they believe there may be problems?
Yeah, and we've given them all of our assessment information, our GIS data. We've given them everything we have, and they're slugging through it. We'll put scores on it if we haven't already. And
so you're going to prioritize other areas where repairs need to be made, I would assume, based on the population that's serviced by the
water. That's the consequence of failure. That factors into the consequence of failure. But yes, reinforced concrete pipe would be a huge target, as being susceptible to hydrogen sulfide. So
you believe this report will be done the beginning of April?
That is the deadline the finance committee's given us. If we need more time, we'll have to ask for it, but pretty soon. So we have a meeting on Friday to see where they are, what they need, if they're on track. But they've actually said they can get it done by this deadline.
Obviously, the council would like to be briefed on that when the next time you come in the next quarter. If you could put that on your list to brief us on. I also think that it's important that you continue to use the cameras, even though you have this Lewis group giving you the statistical analysis, so maybe you can spot other issues. Are you doing that now?
Yeah, yep.
So you've started your own study using the cameras, or you haven't?
We're doing the inspections using our camera, and the technicians will generate reports that have scores of defects, so we're trying to compile that information as we get it. That's a lot of the information that's going to Lewis Berger. We're trying to fill in as many blanks as possible. But we may need to contract out if we really want to get... We've only probably done about 95 miles out of the 300.
As far as the Governor Francis Phase 3, I know construction should start up relatively soon. When would that start?
Probably after April 15th, but there are ongoing construction at the pump station right now.
And when do you believe that will be completed?
The pump station probably going through the summer.
Okay, and what about Governor Francis Phase 3? When do you anticipate that being?
At some point in the summer.
Okay, and when will sewer assessments go out for that?
Probably not till the following April of 2020.
Okay. And could you give us an update on the 30-year loan issue that we've had in the computer?
Yes, I really do think the resolution you passed a while back was a help, and we did get a 30-year loan this year, $8.2 million, the majority of which is for Bayside.
Also, in your report, you had kind of given us a chart that was difficult to read as far as, like, construction time frames, I think it was. It was a graph. I don't know. The
page. Yes, I started doing this at your request a couple of years ago. But I can change it however you want if it's not easy to read.
This one, I can't read at all. It's, I can't read one word on the page. It's...
I apologize for that. That was the engineer, part of the engineer's progress report, and it's one of their Gantt schedules. I can't read it either. No human being can read that. I'll get you a bigger one if you'd like, but I didn't catch that before I sent it to you. I wouldn't have either blown it up or taken it out.
So this is, so this talks about construction schedules and time frames.
Yes, for a particular project, I believe it was Governor Francis, Phase 3. Let me just see. Yeah. Yes, it's associated with the Governor Francis Phase 3 project schedule.
Okay.
You can't read that.
That would be helpful if you could give us something that we could read.
Yes.
Could you also give us an update on Bayside?
Sure. Actually, we're going to be having another project meeting tomorrow and another meeting with the mayor's office on Wednesday, but it's moving along. The plans are about 90% done. That's what we're sitting down to review tomorrow. The specifications are coming along as well. Getting ready to put it out to bid.
All right, and I know Councilman Sinapi had asked before about his ward and the project there. Could you give us an update on that?
Sure. O'Donnell Hill,
yes,
is just on winter break. They'll start back up. They were making some progress, but they were getting close to ledge, so hopefully that also will be done August, September time frame. Again, no sewer assessments till the following year. We're planning a communication with the residents during the off-season about the rest of the remainder of the schedule, what the assessment's going to be, those kinds of things. And Northwest Gorton Pond is as far as we can get so far with the design without having a location for the pump station. So our attorney and our engineer are working on that and trying to find out what we need. We're going to have to go through zoning and planning and all that to break off the lot that we need. So that's a little farther behind.
And is that project also 30 or 20 years as far as financing goes?
If we can get it, we're asking for 30 years going forward with the remainder of these projects.
Could you explain what happened there, how some residents got 30 and some were offered 20?
This is the first loan that we have for a 30-year period. So, yeah. So we have, this is the first time we have 30 years. Everybody else got 20 years.
But the request for 30 years.
Yes, we've been asking for this for 4 years, but this is the first time we got it. So everything's been 20 years up until going forward.
Okay. Councilman Lattice.
Thank you, Mr. President. Director, you said that for Bayside 1, 2, and 3, which is my area, you said that you were ready to go out to bid. So when will those bids be sent out?
Right, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to be pre-qualifying contractors for this directional drilling. And the plans are at 90%. I'd say it's going to be probably another 3 months before we can, May timeframe to put out to bid, but before that, we're going to be doing the pre-screening or pre-qualifying of the contractors that we're going to allow to bid on this.
So, technically, you're not ready to go out to bid. We're talking 3 months down the road.
Yeah, I mean, we're 90% of the way there. We're going out to bid this year.
As you know very well, I, along with the sewer authority, have been trying to get this done since 2013. To go to Governor Francis financing, so when the sewer authority applied for the loan for Governor Francis, did you apply for a 20-year loan or did you apply for a 30-year loan?
We asked for a 30-year loan.
And why didn't they give it to you?
I can't answer for them. It has to do with their cash flow schedules and how much money they're lending out, what's coming in the door. I just know they couldn't reshuffle things to allow for a longer term.
Did anyone from the sewer authority take them to task on this and fight for the 30 years, which was part of the conditions and the terms that we here on the city council, as well as the General Assembly, passed?
Well, I can tell you in every meeting that we have, we meet with them annually, that was on the top of my list. You can ask my staff as well. When are we going to get a 30-year loan? Can we do a 30-year loan?
But the question I'm asking is, was it taken to task, not when are we going to get a 30-year loan, why aren't we getting a 30-year loan?
The answer I would get is they were not able to extend the term of a loan of that magnitude based on their current financial situation. I mean, that's how they explained it to me.
Fair enough. So who was they?
Jeff Deal is the Jeff Deal.
Jeff Deal?
Yes, he's the CEO of the Rhode Island Infrastructure Bank.
What type of deal?
D-I-E-H-L.
D-I-E-H-L. If you could send me his contact information tomorrow, I'd appreciate it. Something else in the report that concerns me, and it's something that is rampant in the construction industry, and I certainly know that industry pretty well. And when I think back to the issue that the sewer authority had with the levy, when the levy, when that went out to bid, and then all of a sudden it was discovered that there was an error or it lacked information in the report about ledge, we ended up with a significant override. And I understand there were some issues with the plans and the previous plans and they weren't correct, etc. So we paid a significant penalty for that. And I kind of look at those things and say, all right, so, you know, this is certainly a learning curve. And I do know that developers and builders who I pretty much deal with all the time, when they buy a piece of property, they're able to assess that property, they're able to get a grasp on what's going on with ledge and how much ledge is there and what the costs are to remove that ledge, et cetera, et cetera. And this money is coming out of their own pockets. So when they purchase this property, they're very cognizant of what they have there for ledge and what the costs are to do it. I'm looking at your report, and your report says, number one, a change order for the pump station for floor hardening, $29,516 for additional work and supplies. So how does that come about? And that one's the smallest one we're going to talk about. How does that type of thing come about, that we have a change order for almost 30 grand?
If I recall that, there's an explanation, there's a breakdown report in, attached to my report, but it had something to do with the size of the breakers or something that they had installed. Actually, they needed to build a larger enclosure, larger elevated enclosure, and that's what that change order is
for. Why is that our problem? Why would that be our problem if they had to build a bigger enclosure than they anticipated? If I submit a price to someone to do a certain job...
It was the equipment we specified.
You specified.
Yeah.
The sewer authority specified.
Yeah.
And who gave you those specifications?
We worked with an engineer that did the design.
So the engineer gave you the design.
Yep.
So is the engineer going to be held responsible for this error? This additional 30 grand? I mean, so we go back to the levy where we pay professionals to guide us through these things, to guide the sewer authority. That's why you're paying these professionals to do this.
Yep.
And again, you do your due diligence. You hire an engineer to give you the specifications. But yet the engineer says, you can do this room, and it's going to be a 10 by 12 room, and then all of a sudden somebody starts building it, and it's a 15 by 20 room. So why is our customers, why are the taxpayers, why are the sewer authorities getting slammed with a $30,000 bill? Why isn't the engineers who screwed it up in the first place getting the $30,000 bill? This is infuriating to me. How has that happened? And I know I'm raising my voice directly. I'm not raising it you specifically. It's in the frustration of what's been going on with these engineers. And engineers, they don't work for minimum wage, I might add.
I share your frustration. I'm going to get you a copy of that change order with the justification. And maybe I'm not explaining it right, but the decision was
well,
change order.
Well, if you are explaining it right, not that it makes any difference, not that I can change it. I certainly want it on the record that I object to paying that change order, because if we paid an engineer to design whatever this booth was for us, then we have the right to expect it to be designed correctly. And if they screwed it up, they have the right to pay the difference. On the Governor Francis Phase 3, for ledge removal, $271,000. How does that, particularly where we had that problem at the levee where we relied on some engineering data that was incorrect and we ended up spending a lot more than $271,000, how is it that here we are in Governor Francis Phase 3, I mean, this land's been there before anybody in this room, perhaps before any of us all put together have been around. How is it that these engineers or this general contractor who is bidding on this job doesn't realize that there's ledge there?
There's about 80 feet of ledge. Just inside, we did a ton of borings every 100 feet. Sometimes this happens. You have a little outcrop. There was ledge in the other areas that was unexpected, but not like this ledge. This ledge was like diamond, and it was not on any plans.
But isn't there test borings that engineers do?
They don't get every single foot doing that, though. They try the best they can to spread those out so they get a good picture of it, and hopefully others have borings that have been taken before, but it happens sometimes. You take borings every 100 feet, and right there in the middle is ledge.
Every 100 feet?
Well, I don't know what it was in this case, but...
But you said it's about 80 feet
of ledge. Yeah, there was about 80 feet of this
ledge. So you take an area like Governor Francis Farms, if there's ledge in one place, you can assume that there's ledge in other places. And my point is, if you're doing test borings every 100 feet, then when you know that there's a lot of ledge issues there, then maybe it needs to be taken every 50 feet.
Yeah, we certainly didn't anticipate that. It's more sand than anything over there.
I know we didn't anticipate it.
Yep.
But the fact is that we have it.
Yep.
And then we have to deal with all of these financial dilemmas that we're struggling to deal with when we have something like this that in the private sector... Those kind of issues would be borne by the developer. if the developer went and bid on this piece of land, and he's going to build, or she's going to build 50 houses, and they think, well, maybe we got this, maybe we got that, I can assure you, they're going to know how much ledge is there before they bid on this property. Because if they're not, they're going to try and sell a $400,000 house for $800,000, and it's not going to work. So I just find those type of issues very, very frustrating to me as to, after all of this time, these kind of things continue to occur with the developers, and they're not being held to task. I just find that very frustrating. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. I just wanted to follow up, Jeanine, on two questions that Councilman Lattisaw had mentioned. One was, and I seem to be asking this question over and over and over, I think it's probably going on 3 or 4 years now with the levy, and he just brought it up again. What's the how long ago did this error occur with the levy? I know it was around $750,000.
15 or 16. It's still outstanding. We still haven't gotten, we haven't settled with the engineer, and there's no, we haven't even gotten the revenue yet.
Wasn't there like a performance bond or anything?
Yes.
And there's no hearing scheduled on the performance bond? That's usually a quick hearing. It's
yes,
an arbitration type thing.
Again, I've offered before to have you speak directly to our legal counsel, but both the grant and the legal settlement are outstanding.
I'm not asking a legal question. If I'm a client of an attorney, I think would simply ask, when is this going before an arbitrator? What's the date? When is this getting heard? I mean, you know, we have a sewer line collapse. We're in need of money. There's a bond out there. I don't think that we made a mistake. I think the engineer made a mistake. That's why they post the bond. We should be entitled to that money so we can put it towards other issues that have cropped up. And, you know, not knowing time frames, I don't think that's a legal question. The other issue that you had mentioned a moment ago was picking up on the stormwater issue. You said that your treatment levels were up. The last time I checked, we don't treat storm drainage.
No, we don't. It's thank goodness somebody thought ahead with that here in the city of Warwick. But
water
does get into the system through the little pick holes. You'd be amazed how much water an inch of water, standing water on a manhole cover would bring in. And also we know we have areas with inflow. We know we have areas where folks have their sump pumps connected to the sewer system. You know, it's not high on the priority list for enforcement right now because we have plenty of capacity, but there are areas of the city that, with high groundwater levels, if there's a crack in the pipe, it's getting in that way. So we do see, when we have a lot of rain, we do see a spike in flows.
And what type of percentage increase are you looking at?
What did I report for the last month? It was like 5.5 million. We were at 4.4 million, so it's a good 20% probably when it rains hard.
And I wasn't clear on one of your responses, but Governor Francis Phase 3, are those residents paying a third a year or they're not?
Not.
They're not paying a third a year? They're paying 20?
Yes.
Councilman Corley?
Director, you said in response to a question by the president that there's construction going on at the pumping station for Governor Francis Phase 3?
Yes, they should be doing some work there
over the
winter.
Last week I was there and there was nothing there.
Okay.
The neighbor on the very last house on the right does have a pipe coming out of the side of her yard that is standing about 10 feet in the air where the ground drops off. And I'm just a little curious of whether or not that is a precarious position. But there was absolutely nothing of any construction that I saw at all. All I saw was the ice when it was cold because it hadn't been cleared away. One question I have about Bayside, have you already purchased the land for the pumping station? Do you have a parcel already?
There is no requirement for pumping stations in the Bayside project. Did you mean Northwest, did you mean Northwest Corton Pond?
Any one of the next section, okay. Do you have, you're not going to have a pumping station for Bayside?
No.
Are there any pumping stations being planned for the projects that are going to be starting next year?
Northwest Corton Pond.
Have you already bought the land for that?
No, we have not.
Well, the pumping station, acquiring the land and building the pumping station obviously has been a problem and delay, at least in the Governor Francis area. Mm-hmm. I would assume that it is something that should be on the at the top of your to-do list. And I have a follow-up question on the 30-year funding for Governor Francis. And when you requested your 2017 financing, did you give the infrastructure bank the enabling legislation changes that stated that the payments should be spread out over 30 years?
I did not.
Is there someone else that submitted it?
I don't know. We explained to them about the law change, our attorneys.
You requested money from the infrastructure bank,
yes.
Correct? You made an application.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with your duties?
Sure it does.
Well, I just asked you, when you filed your application for the 2017 year, did you inform them that the enabling legislation had been changed so that the payments by the people using the system was supposed to be spread out over 30 years? Did you give them a copy of the change of the statute?
No, I did not.
And you didn't receive the 30 years, right? In 2018, did you give them the, for the money for 2018, did they know that it had been changed in 2016?
They knew that it had been changed since 2014 or 15, whenever it had been changed. I did not give them a copy of the law.
Well,
the
it was changed in 2016. And if you were filing an application, they had the discretion, I would think that it would be smart to give them something to say that the law had been changed.
Councilman, sure, but the Clean Water Act had been changed prior to that, allowing for the 30-year term, so that's where we started talking about this, even before the Sewer Authority's enabling legislation was changed. So, no, I didn't give them a copy of the Sewer Authority's enabling legislation.
Okay. Where is the $750,000 going to come from for the Sandy Lane project? Is that going to be spread out among the users in Sandy Lane?
We still have money in our renewal and replacement account that will be charged for that project.
What is a renewal replacement?
It's basically a rainy day fund for construction emergencies and things like that.
An ongoing replacement.
But, yes, it's a charge on the user's bill, though.
A charge on the user's bill for the entire system?
Yes, renewal and replacement charges for...
So that money will be paid for by all of the users of the Sewer Authority and not simply the people that were affected by the catastrophe,
right.
Correct?
No, that's correct. All the users.
Okay, thank you.
Why wouldn't you advocate if you had the ability? Why wouldn't you advocate for all our constituents when we, let me finish my question.
Yep.
When we as a council voted to allow 30 years, why wouldn't you put in an application asking for 20 when clearly the intent of the council was to ask for 30?
I asked for 30.
He just asked you a question.
I asked for 30 years since the Clean Water Act's been changed. We've been asking for a 30-year loan. I have the documentation.
So...
It's leading because you said one, that you didn't ask for it.
So...
It was misleading.
No, so we're going to let the director testify. My understanding is, from what you just testified to, is that you didn't put in for 20. When Councilman Corley just asked you, you said, "I put in for 20." Did you misspeak?
Yes.
You put in for 30.
We've been asking for 30 years since the Clean Water Act regulations changed.
So any documents that you filed will reflect that you asked for 30 and not 20?
Yes, I've already shared them with the council.
And some documents, have all projects, have any projects been approved for 30?
Just the latest loan that we haven't even signed the commitment letter to yet. So the latest loan.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Janine, quickly, I see that you have a two-day project coming up on Sandy Lane. Can you identify to me where that's going to happen? Like, you know, give me an idea from where the construction was. Is it heading more towards Warwick Ave? Is it heading more towards
West Shore?
Wild
so we
Corner?
Get a total of about 700 feet going towards Wild Corner, a little bit of Armory, and then across. I can give you a map exactly where it's going to be, but.
Okay, and it's going to require detours again for 2 days, or is it going to be just like a lane?
My understanding is we're going to be detouring them through the Range Road.
Oh, same as before, so it's going to be in that area where they're going to have to go around, so it'll be basically close off the same area, but just coming up more towards Wild's Corner?
Yes, heading towards Wild's Corner.
Okay, and when do you have an idea when that's going to happen, time frame?
Yeah, mid-month, I think it's...
February?
Yeah. We have two consecutive projects going on, but I'm almost positive it's scheduled for the week of February 18th, the Sandy Lane work.
And this is basically to put the piping within the current piping to ensure that it doesn't collapse?
Yep.
And it's about approximately a two-day project?
Yes, it takes a day to insert it and then a day to cure it.
So it'll all be done on the ground? There'll be no ripping up of asphalt?
A little bit, probably.
Oh, okay, but nothing like what we've experienced.
No,
okay.
No major dig, no.
All right, thank you.
Councilman Lattice.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, Director, in speaking about this ledge problem or unknowns or whatever, and you said that in May, or by May, you're going to be ready to put out an RFP for Bayside 1, 2, and 3. So in Bayside 1, 2, and 3, we already know that we've got significant ledge there. So what processes or what requirements or what commitments are you going to require in your RFP for these contractors who are going to be doing the work there? Because I'm putting on the record now, we know there's a significant ledge issue in Bayside 1, 2, and 3. And to deal with some outrageous change order in the middle of this project is going to really get me upset. So what plans does the sewer authority have to ensure that we're going to have a responsible bid for doing the sewer construction in Bayside 1, 2, and 3, and what protections are you going to require from the contractor to ensure that they have bonds and or insurances in place to deal with any of their miscalculations or the engineering firm with their miscalculations, etc. I want to know what plans does the sewer authority have to protect the people that live in Bayside 1, 2, and 3 for some wild, ridiculous change order.
So that would involve language in the contract, and we haven't gotten too far with the specs yet, but I'm making a note of both that, and there's language you can put in the contract to make sure. And then I would also just point out that we did a large number of borings in this area, and I'll just have to see when we meet tomorrow what that shows, and if there's any other concerns that maybe in between this 80-foot piece, we might want to do another boring before. It's short money to do more borings before.
I think it's a lot shorter money to do the borings, to put the onus on the contractor, than it is not to do the borings and put the onus on my constituents. That's going to make everybody's life very difficult. With these infrastructure issues, so from Rocky Point Avenue down to, I believe, it's Kirby, in the last couple of few weeks, we've had some problems over there with, I'm sorry, that's not you guys. That's someone else. Cancel it.
Oh.
That's someone else.
All right, because I was going to say, I don't know about
that.
No,
that's someone else. It's not Sewer Authority.
Jeanine, how long have you been trying to complete that pumping station now, Phase 3? How many years has it been?
Governor Francis?
Yes. Because I remember there was an issue, we didn't know where it was going, it was going to go someplace else, we thought we owned the land, we didn't. We ended it in negotiation. It delayed the whole project, but I mean, I can't remember the number of years.
No, and I think you're mushing the two of them together. If you remember, there was one in Phase 2 that we had an issue with. Mr. Carlone thought it had been switched to open space. We had to get a zoning change, and then there was Governor Francis Phase 3, which we had to purchase, subdivide, rezone. Yeah, so both phases had pump station issues.
The other issue, and I know that we've talked about this before, but we give estimates to constituents when things are going to be completed. They rely on those estimates. Should I replace my septic system? Shouldn't I? I've been here a long time, and I don't know any project that we've hit our estimates that we tell a constituent. And, you know, It's not good for anybody to be in that position. And, you know, I'd like to see massive improvements on that. I know when Councilman Lattisaw came out about 6 years ago, we had meetings, he had meetings, pushing for his constituents. And I think at that time, it was the estimates 2017. Completion?
2017-18.
So, when are you looking at completing any of the Bayside projects now?
2020. There was a whole additional year of the archaeological work that was required in that case, and I'd be happy to explain to you the delays in that project. But when we first started talking with Councilman Lattis, we didn't have any money to construct, and that was a big part of the delay initially.
I know that the council had passed money for development. Okay, are there any...
Mr. President, indulge me for a minute. Director, you said when you first started talking to Councilman Lattiser, you didn't have any money. In December of 2013, my first year in office, I presented to this city council a $33 million
That's exactly revenue. What I mean. Okay. We had run out of money to finish constructing Bayside, Governor Francis. We didn't have the money.
Okay.
And when we first started talking, that was the cause of the delays, was no money.
Well, that wasn't the cause of the delay in doing Bayside 1, 2, and 3, because we got you the money.
Yeah.
So, two more questions. How much is in your renewal account today, renewal account for this infrastructure replacement? How much is in that account now?
I am a little hesitant to venture a guess because we had a little over $2 million. I'll say $500,000 if you really want an estimate.
Is that what's in there now?
After these two latest infrastructure failures get paid for.
So are you...
But then revenues haven't been brought in. But let's just, for discussion's sake, $500,000.
But are you saying to us that you said you're $2 million, now you get $500,000? So are we to assume that you spent $1.5 million in infrastructure repairs in the last year?
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. And how is it that you're looking to go out for bid for Bayside 1, 2, and 3, and you don't have the specs done yet? I don't understand that.
Well, the specs will have to be done first before we go out to bid. So we're working on that right now.
Okay. Also. So are the specs half completed?
Yes. And the plans are 90% done. So it's really these specifications are a little out of the ordinary because of directional drilling. So it's not our standard construction spec, Doc. It's taking a little longer.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any other comments? Yes.
Getting back to the Sandy Lane project, will the road closure affect the Mickey Stevens complex at all?
Hopefully not. I know the first...
They're coming, I think.
Yeah. I'm just trying to picture it. I don't know. I defer to Public Works on that, exactly where. No, I don't think so. They can be able to get, they can get to the, from the side road, from your other road. Yeah, great. No, I'd rather.
At Solitro DPW, when they do the slip lining and the cured-in-place piping, it's going to go across all the way down to where currently fire alarm is and go across the road. So we will have to reinstitute the detour that goes through Mickey Stevens, if that's your question.
Question is, will they be able to access the parking lot?
Yes. It'll be exactly the way it was for that duration of 4 to 5 weeks when they were conventionally digging out in the road. So right now we're going to lay a bypass across Sandy Lane to go into where fire alarm is. They have to go along with it. So, it'll be shut down for those 2 days, but after that it should be fine. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, if you're saying the parking lot will still be accessible.
Absolutely.
In 2 days.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Bob. Do you know how many miles of I don't think you have an idea how many miles of defective pipe there are.
For the Sandy Lane?
No,
thing?
Just in general.
Oh, no, not yet, no.
So, big picture, if you don't know where you're going, you're going to end up someplace else, you'll say, Angus. It's like an epiphany that we're figuring out that you need to lay pipe and replace pipe and not have a schedule to replace pipe. And now, after it collapses, we're hiring consultants to figure out where we need to replace pipes.
I mean, I think we had a good sense of that before, but it's...
I mean, the road collapsed.
Yeah, that was a premature pipe failure. I don't even know if we would have started there, to be honest.
So that's not even a bad spot?
No, it's not. That's not really a good example.
And we haven't started anyplace else?
Yes, we have done. We've done the main interceptor under Route 95. That would have been a really bad day if something happened to that pipe. We've done a large section of our airport interceptor. We've done a lot. Yep, we've repaired a pipe that was hanging under Route 295. We've actually done quite a bit of work. It just maybe doesn't get the news like a pipe collapse would. So
I'm just asking a simple question, which is, if you know where the bad spots are, you wouldn't hire an expert to figure out where they are. And so it's great to say we knew of spot A and knew of spot B, but you can't tell me, as you stand there today, what you need to repair or how much it's going to cost, because you got to go out to experts to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is that my understanding, being here a very long time, was I thought, and many directors ago, before you, that replacement costs were built into the operational functioning and budgeting of the sewer authority. and that replacement was an essential aspect of maintaining the sewer system. And not knowing what needs to be replaced today, as you're standing there, is upsetting to me. That's something that we should have been figuring out all along and should have been budgeting for. Today, you stand there, you can't tell me what pipes need to be replaced, and you don't know how much it's going to cost. And I just wonder if the pipe didn't collapse, if that would have been done or not. It's just, it's mind-boggling. I know you can smirk, Janine. It's not funny.
I'm not.
When all our constituents have to drive around Mickey Stevens, and when we have to ask you, one of the council members just asked you, is it going to impact Mickey Stevens? Do you know, I have kids. Some of my kids skated. They drive over to Mickey Stevens. Behind there is a sports complex. That's where our composting station is. We have baseball fields over there. We have a skate park. We have tennis courts. Maybe you should drive by there so you know the inconvenience that everybody went through. And now we're going to go through it again because we don't know where we're going. It's very upsetting. Thank you. Any other questions? All right, we'll move on.
Is there a public on this?
No, directors.
I'll put it in writing.
Public hearing is on the second meeting for the public of the month. All right, next item on the agenda is acceptance of minutes from council meeting held on January 9th, 2019. Does somebody want to make the motion? Councilman Lattisaw, seconded by Councilman McAllister, Councilman Howe. Any discussion on the minutes of the meeting? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Board of Public Safety, announcement of appointments. The first item on the announcement of appointments is the Board of Public Safety, Tara B. Prevenkel, JD, 350 Sleepy Hollow Farm Road, term to expire January 1st, 2022. Next item is Walk Housing Authority, George PC, term to expire June 1st, 2023. Next appointment is West Bay Community Action, Board of Directors, Sue Baker. There are appointments. I'm just going to switch gears here. Personnel Hearing Board, Mr. Palazzo, term to expire January 1st, 2025. Appointments requiring confirmation. We have a recommendation from appointments.
The Committee on Appointments recommends favorable action.
Okay, for action, Councilman Lattisaw.
Move favorable action on the appointment of Carlo E. Pezzatoro, Jr., to the Warwick Sewer Authority.
Move a second. Councilman Howe, Councilman McAllister. Any discussion, Councilman Qualley? Any discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Qualley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisaw?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
Mr. Nabi?
Yes.
Mr.
No.
We have eight yeses, one no. The appointment stands passed. Next item on the agenda is PCR 2619, resolution relative to bids, committee report, finance.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattisaw.
Favorable action on PCR 26-19.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe. Go ahead, Councilman Lattisaw.
First item is 2013-215A, State of Rhode Island Janitorial Supplies, favorable action.
Yes.
I apologize.
Yeah.
Lies.
Next. I always knew I heard voices in my head. I didn't know it was my own. But.
Colonel, may I continue?
Yeah.
This is your building, sir.
Look right at it.
Yeah, right. All right, next.
2018-251, let me back up. 2013-215B, State of Rhode Island Janitorial Supplies, favorable action. 2018-251, Consulting Services, favorable action. 2019-075, State of Rhode Island Lumber, favorable action. 2019-205, Original Equipment Manufacturers, Warp Parts, favorable action.
That was A?
Just A, correct, okay. Thank you. 2019-205B, Original Equipment Manufacturers, Parts, favorable action. 2019-206, Various Replacement Automotive Parts, favorable action. 2019-226A, City of Warwick, Gasoline, favorable action. 2019-226B, City of Warwick, Gasoline, favorable action. 2196-242, Replacement Lids and Wheels for the Containers, favorable action.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the resolution regarding to bids? Any discussion? If not, we'll move on the consent calendar as a resolution relative to abatements to do those all at once. So for action, finance on abatements for a recommendation.
Finance committee recommends favorable action.
Okay, seconded by Councilman McAllister, Councilman Howe. Go ahead. Any discussion?
The committee recommends favorable action on PCR 27-19.
And Councilman McAllister, Councilman Howe, second. Go ahead, Councilman. Just that's it?
That's it.
Okay.
There was a couple of questions regarding two of the abatements. It's strictly because they were over-assessed, and that was changed, and that resulted in the abatements.
Okay. And also on the consent calendar, we have a resolution relative to claims report public safety.
We have one claim recommendation for favorable action.
Okay, so the recommendations for favorable action, and let's move it as for second. Let's.
So.
Okay. Seconded by Councilman McAllister, Councilman Ladislaw. Is there any discussion on that?
Committee recommends favorable action for the $104.91 to Joseph Aguilar.
Okay. Yes, Councilman, second? Okay. All right. So the consent calendar has been moved and seconded. Are there any questions on the consent calendar? I know we spent hours in committee on it. If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Ladislaw?
Yes.
McAllister?
Yes.
McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
Mr. Nabby?
Yes.
Mr.
Chavez? Yes.
Consent calendar stands passed. Next item on the agenda is PCO 2118, an ordinance to amend Section 4-13, Keeping and Feeding Wildlife Committee Report Ordinance.
Hold until February 25th.
Held till February 25th. Next item on the agenda is 2-19, PCO 219, an ordinance in regards to rescue service fees committee report finance.
That was held to
February
25th. February 25th.
Held till February 25th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 16517, sale of former Christopher Rhodes Elementary School committee report, public properties.
Held to February 25th.
Held till February 25th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 4518, bid number 2018-243, medical evaluations for Warwick Fire Department. Committee report, finance.
Committee recommended unfavorable action on PCR 45-18.
For action, Councilman Ladislaw.
Recommend unfavorable action on PCR 45-18.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister and Councilman Howe. Any discussion?
The reason, Mr. President, that the committee voted unfavorable action is through a request that both you and I had made to our council solicitor, Mr. Harrington, for an opinion on that particular item, which had resulted in the Finance Committee holding this for some time. It was determined by our legal counsel that that provision in the contract was actually removed from the contract many years ago, but yet the previous administration, this is prior to Mayor Solomon, the previous administration never notified any of us that that was removed, and it was an item that has been filled time and again. There was also many of my colleagues sitting in this council today that have raised concerns about that particular line item, and essentially what it was an item funded at the rate of $60,000 a year that not only wasn't being used, it wasn't even part of the contract. And the money was dispersed elsewhere as they so chose, or so chose. As a result of that, the Finance Committee has recommended to this honorable body unfavorable action as an unnecessary expense to the taxpayers.
And I know over the years I've raised this issue, and in particular, representatives from the fire department would tell the council that it was a different type of exam and it may or may not be covered by insurance. And lo and behold, it was negotiated out of the contract anyway. And as I pointed out to the assistant, that this was a negotiated agreement between the city and the collective bargaining unit that they would no longer request that because we are providing for their health insurance and they are entitled to exams and blood work, etc. So it was unnecessary. Are there any other questions on this item? Any other questions? If not, the clerk will call a roll. A yes is to deny. Yes.
Wally?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattison?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Trapp?
Yes.
Right, yes.
Okay. And PCR 4518, bid number 2018-243, fails. Next item is PCR 12718, a resolution regarding the school department request for a supplemental appropriation of $6,600,000 for the Warwick schools for the fiscal year 2019. Committee report, finance.
The finance committee, at the request of the sponsor, Council President Marola, the finance committee recommends withdrawing.
Okay, and Councilman, if you could make that, that's your recommendation, if you could move that.
Move to withdraw PCR 127-18.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe. Just to fill the public in, as we know, and we talked about in committee, there was a complaint filed by the school department, and they put their request in writing to us and requested that they no longer need to appear, so therefore we're going to withdraw it from the calendar. Is there any questions, or from the docket, is there any questions from council members? If not, the clerk will call a roll.
Marola?
Yes, is to withdraw. Yes.
Mr. Qualley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattison?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. Trapp?
Yes.
PCR 127-18 stands withdrawn. Next item on the agenda is PCR 153-18, resolution requesting that the Department of Public Works study abandonment of a portion of K Street. Committee report, intergovernmental.
There was an amendment and there was favorable action on the, there's a request for favorable action on the amendment.
So there's a recommendation for favorable action with amendment for action. Councilman Ricks, if you could move it.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman Howe, Councilman Lattiser. Go ahead, Councilman, are you going to recommend an amendment?
Recommend an amendment as...
You want the city council solicitor to read that into the record?
Please.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if we needed to read it into the record a second time as it had been read in during the committee.
All the other council members have to have the opportunity.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The Rex Amendment to PCR 153-18 to be considered as one large amendment. On line 9, at the following the word avenue, and that is at the end of the sentence, we are inserting before the semicolon the words, which is utilized as a park featuring a gazebo. On line 12, following the word street, we are inserting the words, for the benefit of the public. On line 15, we are deleting the words abandonment of and inserting in its place the words expansion of such park to encompass. At the end of line 15, we are deleting the last two words so that, as well as deleting all of line 16. And the final amendment is on line 19. We are deleting the words abandonment of and inserting in its place the words expansion of such park to encompass.
Okay, you're moving that as the amendment, Councilman Ricks?
Correct.
Do I have a second on the amendment, Councilman Howe, Councilman Lattiser? Any discussion on the amendment? If not, the clerk will call the roll. A yes is for approval of the amendment.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Pauli?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Nappy?
Yes.
Mr. Travis?
Yes.
Stands the amendment stands passed. Councilman Ricks, if you could move it as amended.
Move for favor. Move
PCR 153-18.
PCR 153-18, thank you.
As amended.
As amendment.
As seconded by Councilman Howe, Councilman Lattiser. Any discussion on this as amended? If not, the clerk will call the roll. A yes is to approve.
Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Nappy?
Yes.
Mr. Travis?
Yes.
PCR 153-18 as amended stands passed. Under new business, PCO 319, an ordinance relative to boat storage on residential properties, committee report ordinance.
Hold April 22nd.
Held till April 22nd. Next item on the agenda is PCO 419, an ordinance prohibiting traffic from Evergreen from turning westbound on Pavilion. Committee report ordinance.
Hold February 25th.
That's held till February 25th. And those last two I don't think were drafted, so members of the public understand why we're holding it. Next item on the agenda is PCR 2119, a resolution relative to Educational Outreach Committee. That's not drafted. Committee report, Health, Education, and Welfare.
Oh, I apologize.
I think it's held the 25th?
Hold until February 25th. Thank you.
Held until February 25th. And I also wanted to mention, and I wanted to wish him good luck with his recovery, but I had mentioned at the start of the committee meetings that John Harrington was hospitalized with a significant illness for several weeks and was recently released. And hopefully we'll have some of these items ready for the February 25th, and we wish him a speedy recovery. Next item on the agenda is PCR 2219, a resolution in regards to the installation of a stop sign at Chatsworth Avenue westbound heading to Lister Street. That's not drafted. Committee report, public safety.
Hold until February 25th.
Hold till February 25th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 2319, a resolution requesting the state RIDOT to re-examine Greenwich Avenue traffic pattern near Crown Plaza. Committee report, intergovernmental.
That was held, and I forget the date.
February 25th.
February 25th.
So it's held till February 25th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 2419, a resolution to RIDOT requesting a traffic study for Greenwich Avenue, Route 5, in the vicinity of the Greenwich Village Apartments. It's not drafted. Committee report, intergovernmental.
Held till February 25th?
Held till February 25th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 2519, a resolution in regards to an easement on Knight Street. Committee, and that's not drafted. Committee report, public properties.
Held to February 25th.
Held till February 25th. Next item on the agenda is referral and advertising. PCO 519, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the city of Warwick. Joanne DeCenzo, individually and in her capacity as administratrix of the estate of Joseph DeCenzo and Joseph DeCenzo III. That will be put out for referral and advertising. So we'll move to the consent calendar. Ward 1, anything for consent?
Pass.
Unanimous consent, I'm sorry. Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7?
Pass.
Ward 8?
Pass.
And Ward 9 passes. Move to the docket session. Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Move to the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket?
Nope.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7?
Pass.
Ward 8?
Pass.
Ward 9 passes. Have a good evening. Council is closed.